Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love it. I want you to know the Lord loves us. And he has great things in store for those who love him. Jesus pointed out, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This is a very important statement. He said, let those that have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. Now, having ears to hear, that's like having an appetite to hear life. Those that followed Jesus, they wanted life. They followed him because they heard the words of life. Nobody made them do it. They did it of their own free will. Nobody made them say, come and follow Jesus. They did it because they wanted to. They heard something in his words that they had never heard before. They saw something in his ways that they had never seen before. Now, I said all that to say this. The opposite is also true. He that has ears, let him hear. Everybody that has ears to hear will hear. They have appetite for the things of God. Nobody made the crowd follow Jesus. They heard the words of life. Now, as he continued, you know, the story I'll share, Pastor Jim talked about it too this week, last week anyway. The Lord went out to teach, and people came because they wanted the fish and the loaves. Now, the point is this. They that have ears to hear have appetite for the things of God. The Lord can rescue them out of this world and save them. But they that don't have ears to hear, they don't hear the word of God. Some people will not hear the word of God. Now, my assignment for tonight, the Lord wanted, he said, tell the living that they that are dead won't hear life. There's a reason he wants us to understand that. People that are alive under God, you have appetite for the things of God. And the Lord knows this, and he can work with you. But people that don't have an appetite for the things of God, they don't have ears to hear. So when the Lord is speaking, they don't hear what he has to say. They don't have ears to hear him, the protocols of God. See, the love of the world causes people to be the enemy of God. Now, the Lord said this several ways. And one scripture says, don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So when people are attracted to anything of the world, they have a problem with God. So, see, to the pure, everybody's pure. To those that love the world, nothing's pure. I'm not quoting it perfectly, but you know, that's what Paul taught Timothy. To those that are defiled, nothing's pure. Okay. Now, in St. John chapter 6, the Lord, he knows, if you watch Jesus, you learn something. Jesus watched the Father, and he learned something. If we watch Jesus, we learn something. And one thing, the main thing that we should learn is to go in prayer and seek the Lord our God and King. Yesterday's broadcast was called The Problem. Before that, we had approval orders. Now, in that one, approval orders, the Lord had me sharing that God wants people to stick with what he said in the first place. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the earth. And all this in it. Now, I pointed out yesterday, the Lord did, that when the Lord was talking to Adam and Eve, he blessed them. Now, he wasn't just talking to Adam and Eve. He was talking to Adam and Eve and all of their descendants that was in their loins. And he said to all of us, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. It's basically the same thing. Jesus just said it, shared it different. Because he focused on the souls that were lost. Now, there was no souls lost. Jesus would have been talking about the original plan from God. But now, he's talking to his people who have ears to hear. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. So people can have ears. There are people with ears to hear out there. Everybody with ears to hear, they're the white harvest. Now, people that love the world, they won't hear. And there are three reasons they don't hear. One is their heart is too hard. The other one is their heart is like stony ground. They don't let the word grow deep. And the third type of unbeliever or people that won't hear God, they hear the word, but the lust of other things entering in, it chokes the word, and they become unfruitful. See, that was a time I used to think that the word that sown among thorns, I thought that those people were saved, they're just people that have a hard time. But they can't bear fruit. And the only reason a person can't bear fruit is because they're nothing like Jesus. If you are like Jesus, you automatically bear fruit. Jesus said, let your light shine. I never put it together that way. I never thought about it that way. If you're not bearing fruit, it's because you're not like Jesus. If you share the love of Jesus, if you're like him, then you have you're resilient against the world, and you have the attributes of Jesus, and you automatically bear fruit. Jesus didn't say make your light shine. He said let your light shine. See, if you have ears to hear, and you hear his word, and his word abides in you, and you seek to obey him. Some people seek to obey God, and they seem to fail, but they keep endeavoring. They keep endeavoring. They keep trying. They have a hard time doing it, but they keep trying. And they hadn't mastered everything yet, but they keep trying. They keep endeavoring. They keep going to church. They keep listening. Nobody makes them do it. They do it for themselves. I know people, men, that was very young, 20, in their early 20s, on a Friday night would clean up the church, and I was one of them. Nobody paid us to do it. Nobody made us do it. We did it because we wanted to serve Jesus. We wanted to be around the things of God. And if somebody failed or if something happened unfavorable, you get back up and you keep moving. I've seen this. I've witnessed it. Some of them are preachers now. And some of them went back to the world. But some of them stuck with God. People turn from God for those same three reasons. Their heart is too hard to hear the word, or they don't let the word get roots, or there's too many thorns in the garden of their heart that choke the word, and they become unfruitful, nothing like Jesus. But then those that hear the word with a good and honest heart, they bring forth fruit with patience. Psalm 30, Psalm 60, Psalm 100. They bear fruit, a little or a lot, or somewhere in the middle. But fruit is fruit, whether you bear a little or a lot. Now, I want you to also understand, to show you that people that love the world don't have ears to hear, I want you to see the separations. One of them we're going to look at in John. And then we'll look at the other one in Isaiah 8. And I go to Isaiah 8 a lot. There's so much in Isaiah 8. Now this is St. John chapter 6. And Jesus had just fed the 5,000. I think it was 5,000. Let me back up a little bit. Because Jesus is doing something here. He came, let me go to verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now, Pastor Jim said it depends on which side of the shore you're standing on, what they called it. Now, he's marvelous and wise. He's a student of the Word of God, a scholar. He loves to study the Word. Okay, it's good to have a good pastor, because if you want to be balanced, people say align yourself with good people. Well, pastors are a gift. I just want to throw that in there. All of them that love God. If you just love God and you bear fruit, you're a gift. Verse 2. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. You see that? They followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said to Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I had the Lord do me that way on some occasions. So when he starts some stuff like that, I know I know it's going to be good. I love the Lord, my God and King. When he'll tell me something, and then he'll tell me something else, and he'll confirm it through somebody. I know I'm about to learn something. Okay, verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone of them may take a little. So I guess they had 200 penny worth of bread. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, now watch what's going on now, and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea. Now I'm going to tell you something in ministry. This is a good place for me to do that, okay? I'm going to hold that thought, John 16. This is a good place to go back to. That's Titus. Titus chapter 1. Now listen to this. In ministry, we can't see people's intent. Only the Holy Spirit knows. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. We can't see people's intent unless God reveals it to us. I can't anyway. And some people think they're smart enough, but I don't believe it. I don't believe no man on this earth can see people's intent unless the Lord revealed it. This is why. Verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure. Now this is Titus chapter 1, verse 15. And I had to remember it was Titus, not Timothy. Okay, it's Titus, not Timothy. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now watch verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And why would this be? They don't have ears to hear. They don't have living ears. See, Paul was explaining something to Timothy. And let me back up and come back down. That way this will make more sense. He said, he was telling Timothy some things that he had to watch out for. So let's just look at the whole thing. I love having, there's nothing like Brother Leroy used to say, there's nothing like a good understanding. Let's just take our time and get a good understanding here. Titus 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. See that? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-will, not soon angry, not given to wine, nor striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast the faithful word that he hath been taught. You see that, verse 9? Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now watch this, verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now here's a problem. People that don't have ears to hear again. The Lord had me, I'm showing you something. Among the sheep there are wolves. Among the wheat there are tares. You know, they just don't go away, do they? Among the profitable there are the unprofitable. Among the five wise there's the five foolish. You know, five virgins was wise, five were foolish. Verse 10 again, for there are many unruly, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. The people, the descendants of Abraham, the people that should be teachers are not listening. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. They do this for money and pleasure, and they made a mess subverting whole houses, people that once believed God. See, some people, they don't grow enough roots. So when people that are hard-hearted come around and teach, they subvert that person's whole house because they didn't have the roots of the word. See, if you believe on Jesus Christ and you have the reference of life, when they did these things, they appeal. When people, see, I said earlier, people fall away for because of three reasons of the heart. All right, when the truth is taught, some people's hearts are so hard that they don't listen, they don't hear or receive the word, even though it's in their best interest, and they don't have ears to hear because their hearts are too hard. That's like the wayside. The fowls of the air just came and took the seed off the hard ground, couldn't penetrate. And as the scripture says, break up your fallow ground. So if something can be done for a hard heart, but when people's hearts are too hard, they don't have ears to hear. Now the Jews, they saw Jesus came to them first and taught them first and ministered to them first, did miracles in there that they had never seen and never heard of before, did miracles in their midst, raised the dead, and then continually brought people back to life. The blind could see. You know, when John the Baptist was overwhelmed, he said, are you the Christ, or should we look for another? He said, go tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. And he kept on moving. Jesus kept going forward. So the Jews saw this, but they still wanted to have it their way. And they were, in verse 11, they subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. And the kind of people that they could subvert are people who also had a hard heart, or they were like the stony ground. They didn't let the root, they started to believe, but they didn't let the roots grow deep. And also those that worry about the cares of this world, and they can't bear fruit, like we was talking about earlier. See, when people don't bear fruit, they're not like Jesus. If you receive his love, and if you receive salvation, some kind of way you're going to be like him, and you will bear fruit. It's just the way it is. So here come these people to take it away from them, from people like that. They want to change you back into the world. And people of the world, they do the same thing anyway. Okay, verse 12. This is Titus 1, verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Then Paul said, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. See, Jewish people were talking against the hurting the Christians, saying that they were evil beasts and slow bellies. Paul said, rebuke them sharply, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn men from the truth. Now he says this, verse 15, our key verse, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, because of this, the Lord has a remedy if people won't change. But when you're pure in your heart, you're reaching after the things of God, and you're growing and learning. And remember, the kingdom of God starts in seed form. It started with one man, Jesus, and it kept growing. And so it started, you know, Zechariah told Zerubbabel not to despise small beginnings, because the gospel started with Jesus. And he came and represented the Father to us. And he quoted the prophets and the law and blessed us. Okay. But there are people who will go against what he did, the life of God. So having ears to hear is very important. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. So that's why we pointed that out. Now going back to John chapter 6. Sometime a little aside is good to give clarity. Because the Lord is moving by his Spirit. And he wants people to know who he is and what he came to do. So Jesus is here dealing with the 5,000 men and their families. And man, that was a lot of people eating fish and loaves that day. Now, when Jesus came, and we're back at we'll start at 14. We made it down to 16, but I'm going to start at 14. Now then, those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now they had enough sense to know that. But watch what they did. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down to the sea. Now, I said earlier, the Holy Spirit can tell when people are right with him and wrong. But his people can't. We can't tell when people are tares or wheat. And some people feel like wheat and they're tares. Some people, they feel like a tare, but they're actually wheat. But the Holy Spirit knows his own. So the disciples thought everything was cool, but Jesus, he knew that they were coming to take him by force. So he went up into the mountain alone, and his disciples went down to the sea. Now they probably thought that Jesus was with his disciples. So they went the other way. Jesus went up the mountain to be with the Father. Okay. Now watch what happened to 17 and all right, 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea to a Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Now I want to say this. I said earlier, the Holy Spirit knows his own. We can't always see what he see. The only time we know that people are corrupt is when the Father reveals it to us, or when the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Of ourselves, we just can't do it. Even the angels can't separate the sheep from the goat, or the tares from the wheat. So we depend on the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus knew what these men's intentions was, but his disciples couldn't tell. And the reason I'm pointing that out is because people camouflage themselves in their ways. Jesus knows the hearts and his word divides the soul and the spirit. So he wants the living people to know that the wicked people, or the tares or goats, or they don't have ears to hear by choice. And he wants us to understand that they will not hear. It's not that they can't hear. They will not hear of their own free will. All right, verse 17. And they entered into the ship and went over to Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come with to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near unto the ship. And they were afraid. This means that when we can't see what the Holy Spirit sees unless he reveals it, that means that we need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. We need to watch Jesus before we make judgments, before we take a new course. We need to get his sanctions. Just like I talked about approval orders, we need to get our approval orders. And then he will help us deal with the problem. Okay, and people that don't believe, because we can't tell. All right. So Jesus came walking on the sea and drawing near unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. God got this. And as you follow him, you'll know he's got you. And that's a comforting thing to know that God got you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to super manage your life. Present to the Lord what you want to do. Rest in him and do what you got to do. But do it in his strength, not yours. Verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were in it, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias near unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them, now watch this now, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Then he said this, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now that's a very important verse. He said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So seek after his words. He had to tell them to seek what to do, because they were seeking after the food. But they needed to be seeking after Jesus, the real food, the real bread of life, not just manna. Verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. This is the work of God, and this is for everybody. This is the work of God, that ye believe on Jesus whom he has sent. I added the word Jesus for clarifications. Verse 30. They said therefore unto Jesus, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, but he that believeth on me shall never thirst.